great and glorious things. I mean, above all else, we remember the story of David and Goliath. David, who appointed as a young boy, took 5 smooth stones and in one fell swoop killed the enemy of the army Israel when the rest of Saul's troops were terrified to even approach him. And yet David, who was anointed, given great authority over the people, and raised up to be king over all Israel and Judah, got full of himself. He got full of himself and said, "I will build a house for the Lord." As if God could be contained within any 4 walls, and as if it was David's calling to do that. Yes, even King David got full of himself. Have you ever been full of yourself? I think it's hard for us to see when we're full of ourselves. And I'm not just talking about the full of ourselves that is our arrogance. Other people often point that out to us. But we get full of ourselves in so many ways that blind us from God's call and deafen us to the voice of God at work in our lives. Simple example. Long, long time ago, I was a collector of clothing. Oh, not vintage clothing. Not even everyday, like the new fashion clothing. Just the kind of clothing that you find when you go to the mall. And I was such a collector of clothing that my half of the closet, let's just say it bulged. And the part where I kept my shoes, let's just say it overflowed. But that didn't stop me. I loved to shop, and I used to go out, and if I saw anything that I liked, you know, I had the money to just take care of that, so I did. And I remember that there was one day when I came home with something I had bought, and I stole a hanger from my husband's side of the closet and hung this thing on a hanger, but I literally could not fit it in there. I was kind of mad, and you know what I wanted? A bigger closet. I had other closets in the house. I could just go to the next room, but no, I wanted that closet to be bigger. But instead, something urged me. Let's say it came from deep within my soul. It, you know, this is just a really weird example, by the way. Like, who talks about clothing and their soul? But here it is, nevertheless. Something deep within my soul urged me. And right there on the spot, I came up with some new rules for living. So, have you ever had the urge to clean out your closets? Just raise your hand. You have had that urge, right? That comes and goes, right? So, what I used to do with that urge is that I would just lay down until the feeling went away. So, the first rule was that whenever I had that urge to clean out my closet, I actually had to do it and get rid of that stuff. And then that stuff no longer counted for the game that I was playing for myself. And the game was this. That whenever I saw something I wanted in the store, I had to do several things. The first was to wait 2 weeks. And if I went back to the store and it was still there, then I had permission to buy it. But I had to then go home and replace something that was hanging in my closet. Right? So you can get the game. Like, I can't add anything new. I have to just exchange stuff, and then whenever I have the urge to clean out, I have to do that, right? So it took a period of time, I don't know how long, let's say a year. Let's say it took a year. But there was a day, and I just remember this so distinctly, I was shopping and there was a dress in the window, and I wanted it. But I knew everything that was hanging in my closet, and I loved every single thing that was hanging in my closet. I couldn't think of anything that I wanted to give up in order to have that new dress. And so I just said, "No, thank you." And I walked away. It's a really weird example, but the thing I experienced in my soul was satisfaction. Like adult, mature satisfaction. I'm not talking about the kind of satisfaction you have when you're 10 and you get a fudgesicle or your mom says yes to the cookies. Not that. But like, all was well in the relationship between me and my wardrobe. Now, I could say that before that time, I was full of myself in the sense that I was so dissatisfied and yearning and hungry that I was just consuming whatever clothing came my way. And I did the real, adult, mature work of handling that insatiable hunger. Of course, something really amazing happened after that, and that was I realized that all my relationships with everybody that I knew were messed up. And I saw that a game that I played with my wardrobe could be played with my relationships. That my relationships were filled with gross, ugly interactions. And that I could actually clean that up. I could cull that out and make amends. And it wasn't a big step from my wardrobe to my relationships. It took a really long time. It took like 10 years. But at the end of that work with each person, I once again experienced real, adult, mature satisfaction. See, we can be full of ourselves in many, many ways over little, little things. But the way that we're full of ourselves blocks the presence of God in our lives. It isn't that God isn't there, it's that we can't hear because we have too much noise. And that's what happened to David. Of course, it's dangerous to talk about kings because none of us swim in the same soup that David swam in. But David got full of himself because he was undefeated in military victory. He went on to have over 1,000 wives and take whatever it was he wanted from whomever had it. And it's that David who says, you know, I live in a house of cedar and I should build a house for the Lord. Being full of ourselves causes a kind of blindness that keeps us from seeing what God is really up to in the world. God can't ever, and I'll say it again, God can't ever be confined within the space of four walls, which ought to give us pause as we sit in a space with four walls. It doesn't mean God isn't here. It just means that this is not God's container. God is here, but God is also in other places with four walls. And even beyond that, David was so full of himself that he missed what the Lord said to him. The Lord did not say to David, I'm going to build a house for you. Did anybody hear that when I was doing this scripture? I'll build a house for you. That's not what God said. God said, I will make you a house. I will make you a house. Later prophets really got this right. The prophet Joel said, in those days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. I will pour out my flesh on men and women alike, even slaves. When the prophet Jeremiah starts talking about the tabernacle for the Ark of the Covenant, God's laws, he says this. God says, in those days I will write my law on their hearts. They will be my people, and I will be their God. The Apostle Paul got this. He said, when we don't know what to say when we pray, the Holy Spirit prays for us with sighs and groans too deep for words. So let me ask you, have you ever had sighs and groans too deep for words? That is the Holy Spirit within you praying on your behalf. The Lord said to David, not, I will make you a house to live in, but I will make you a house in which I will dwell. I will make you a house in which I will come to dwell. So what's with the four walls? We have to have some place big enough to gather to remind ourselves that we are the house. We have to have some place big enough to gather that will hold such a great piano. And by the way, we need to give Faye some congratulations. She was married in the time that we saw her last. So, like, you know, we have to have a place big enough to have music glorious enough to express our praise of the God who dwells within us. Martin Luther said, you know what the problem with human beings is? They forget who God is. And they themselves want to be God. In other words, you know what the problem with human beings is? They get full of themselves and there's no room for the God that wants to dwell in them. Why do we need a place with four walls that looks like this? So that we can practice emptying ourselves of us, of our yearning for things, and our yearning for power, and the pushing of our own agendas, and what we think is right. We need a place like this so that we can clean our ears to hear once again the voice of the God who calls and loves us, and to see once again the power of that God at work in us. Martin Luther also said this, we believe in one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one holy word, but we forget. And therefore, we ought to wake up every day and remind ourselves that we are the baptized children of God and that God washes away our sin and our selfish desire and that fullness of ourselves to create a place in us in which to dwell. God is on the move to change not only your wardrobe, not only your relationships, not only your relationship to your own power, but the whole world. And God does that by dwelling in us, by baptizing us, making us clean, giving us new vision, new ears to hear, and sending us out in the world on God's own behalf. You are every bit as precious, valuable, loved, chosen, anointed, and called by God as King David. But let's get it right. We're not called to build a house for God, but to be a house built by God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Joined to Christ in the waters of baptism as we are clothed with God's mercy and forgiveness. And so we give thanks for the gift of baptism. We give thanks, O God, for in the beginning, your Spirit moved over the waters. And by your word, you created the world, calling forth life in which you took delight. Through the waters of the flood, you delivered Noah and his family. Through the sea, you led your people Israel from slavery to freedom. At the river, your son was baptized by John and anointed with the Holy Spirit. By water and your word, you claim us as daughters and sons, making us heirs of your promise and servants of all, holy vessels to contain your Spirit and your very life to be at work in the world. We praise you for the gift of water that sustains life. And above all, we praise you for the new gift of life in Jesus Christ that you give us through our baptism. Shower us with your Spirit and renew our lives with your forgiveness, your grace, and your love. To you be given honor and praise through Jesus Christ, our Lord, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Let us stand and